Still loading. Good evening. Welcome to episode one of the Love Boat Project. My guest this episode is Mike Robertson, and we are here to discuss season one, episode one, Captain and Lady, Centerfold, and One If by Land. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on this maiden voyage. I have like four boat terms, so I'm going to use them a lot.
Please, please. I kind of try to acquaint myself with some boat terminology. I've got stern, port. That's about it.
The one thing I did learn after watching this episode was there's just a lot of things about boats and cruises and the late 70s that I just did not know and still don't know. So
it really was. It was it's interesting when you watch a show from 1977 and the state of the world is obviously a much different place than where we live now. And that to me is the thing that really kind of jumped out. All right. Exactly. So we're going to jump right into this. Mm-hmm. Original air date of this episode was September 24th, 1977. And I'm going to give you the brief synopsis of the Love Boat episode. The captain's ex-wife, it's Bonnie Franklin, who is now married. Let me just say this, okay? I would think if you were, I'm sorry, Bonnie Franklin, but I would think if you were casting somebody as the ex-wife of a ship's captain, like, was Bonnie Franklin a looker in the 70s? Was that a look?
Well, here, okay, so we're going to jump right into Bonnie Franklin, because Bonnie Franklin, you know, obviously One Day at a Time.
Yeah.
I know her as the mother, and that's all I know her from. So, and I assume One Day at a Time was on by now, which is why she's the big.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So she comes in so hot.
She really
with that
does.
Accent. It is like, hello, Dolly. Like, it is just like out of nowhere. I was her whole affect and character was amazing, but it's not like Stubing is some, you know, eye candy either. I mean, let's be honest here. So
I'll tell you what, yeah, you get a very different looking captain with hat on versus hat off. You get two completely different vibes. Hat on captain, he could definitely get Bonnie Franklin. Hat off captain, but the interesting thing was I didn't catch it the first time I watched what apparently Bonnie Franklin's husband, and it's in the synopsis, was a cruise line executive.
Yes.
I don't know how I missed that.
So that was their entry into why she was able to be so demanding of the crew.
Yeah, but she wanted Gopher to be in her room in an hour, and was he drop the whole Shirley Temple?
Right, but that doesn't make any sense, because like my wife's job, I can't just show up and like, you know, demand people do things based on her employment. So that was a real weird entry point. But yeah, they did explain it right away and then never went back, because that guy didn't do anything. Aubrey.
He spoke four or five words the entire episode.
Yeah, just they were strong. Creepy. They were strong words.
Oh, they were strong words. Yeah, they were. All right. So that Bonnie Franklin, who is now married to one of the cruise line's executives, comes on board, is walking all over him, and he's letting her. A woman, Meredith Baxter. Let me just say, the Meredith Baxter storyline was my least favorite.
They didn't seem to have much there because they wrapped it up really early.
When I was doing research, I noticed, so they have three different storylines for this episode, and they had three different directors.
I saw that.
And I'm like, how does that?
Why? It's not like they were like exotic locales that they were shooting on.
Well, and it's in the context of one show. You know what I mean? It's one, or should be one.
I was really... There were two things. Well, I'll let you go because I don't want to run into, we haven't even gotten to the credits yet, but I was surprised by that. And another thing in the credits that I was very surprised by.
Interesting. All right. Who's engaged to a congressman, Shelley Novak. Do you know who Shelley Novak is?
Nope. No idea.
When I saw this, so the first time I saw this, I don't know, just something about him screamed like he's in one of those, you know, he works for like the government, like it's a bad guy. Like I can see that 70s sort of.
Sure. Like one of those, like if he was in the, like one of the Nixon guys in President's Men.
So I looked at him like, what is with this guy? Interesting. So he was drafted by the Chargers 1965 in the AFL. Yeah. Never played a regular season game.
So did Al Davis draft him? Because he was with the Chargers before he was with the Raiders. Oh, that's interesting.
So he, after two seasons, it says here, Novak met Universal Studios acting coach Vincent Chase. And then I thought, isn't that the name of that guy? The guy
from
the
Entourage? Yeah.
Weird. While playing in a touch football league during the offseason, which, what NFL guys play? Can you imagine if modern day NFL players were playing in, like, you know, rec league touch football?
And there were already two at pro leagues. Like,
yeah,
how much more do you need?
He must have been bad. Wide receiver, by the way, if I didn't mention it. So he got a little into acting. He was in a few episodes of Quincy, which I'm a huge fan.
Yep.
But here's the odd part. Novak died of a heart attack at the age of 34.
So that must have been like right after this.
1978, the next year.
Oh my God.
He was dead. Yeah. Dead of a heart attack. Isn't that crazy?
Horrifying.
34.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, but those are those weird 70s like causes of death. You know what I mean? That heart attack could mean overdose. It could, you know what I mean? It could mean a variety of things.
Going over the side of the boat. Yeah, that's
anything.
That's a RIP, Shelly Novak. So
just a little something about Shelly Novak there for you. Meredith Baxter engaged to a congressman. Again, this storyline I thought was just learning a nude photo she'd taken is coming out in a magazine. He wants to make sure he doesn't see it. I'll have more to say about that. That whole it's just stupid. And a woman, actress's name is Brenda Sykes.
I didn't know her from anything.
She was in episodes of this or that, but nothing really like substantial. No offense, Brenda Sykes.
She was good. I thought she was really good.
She was good. Wants to get married, but her boyfriend, JJ Walker, JJ, don't say dynamite on another TV show. Walker.
In a very understated performance, I would say.
Really. Less is more. Less is more.
God. Jesus.
Who just wants things to stay as they are, follows her wherever the ship.
Yeah. Does. I want to get into that when we start talking about it, because I don't understand that plot line at all. So,
I mapped it out. It doesn't make any sense to like logistically it doesn't. So, and it's funny because we spoke a little about the Meredith Baxter storyline with the whole, you know, photo, and which at first she said it was a photo, but then everyone's looking at a centerfold. I'm like, Jesus, like,
that's more than
a photo.
Yeah. That was a shoot. Yeah.
Like, that's a thing, man. Yeah. Like, so it's interesting because this episode or that storyline was a case of life imitating art. Because Suzanne Summers, what does it say here? Suzanne Summers, who had posed nude years before when she was young and desperate and was now trying to hide it, like around a little after, you know, mid-70s. It later came out. Summers had posed for Playboy under the same circumstance back in 1970 after she became a household name from the success of, you know, Three's Company, 1976. Actually, no. See, she wasn't on Three's Company till January of 1977. So I wonder if 1976, was she just like a personality before that?
I mean, I feel like everybody was on like a million things back then. Like there were game shows and, you know, maybe she was in a Quincy or something.
Who knows, you know? But that led, anyway, Playboy published the photos despite her attempts to prevent it.
So
obviously not the same thing, but
yeah, but I mean, that's weird that it's in the same episode that she's in.
Yeah. That's a little odd, right?
Like, I wonder if they were trying to get her and had to flip.
Maybe she worked with Meredith Baxter, coached her through it, told her what her motivation should be. If they were on
the same set, it sounds like they were two completely different units.
Well, you know, what's weird though, is this set. I'm glad you said sets. You have your standard opening with the staircase. You have your standard closing with the staircase. And then the Captain Steubing, you're needed in the bridge. You know what I mean? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So obviously these are just, there's not that many sets, really.
Well, I assume every room, like every cabin was the same cabin.
Yeah, I would, just financially. Yeah. But like,
and then they had the dining room. Yeah. And then they had the
area,
which was weird
with that overwalk thing.
Yeah. But it clearly, I guess maybe I always assumed that they would have shot it just like on an old ship, like the Mushaloo or something, that had just been dry docked. But yeah, I DJ, guess they DJ were just a bunch of
there on the weekends, by the way.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't, it's weird. It's weird. And you know, it's weird. It brought back this sense of nostalgia when they showed that canned shot of like the boat leaving port and the streamers and stuff. And I was just like, it got okay. me.
Now, yeah. So now I will say this many times tonight. I have never been on a cruise. There are a lot of things that maybe are just obvious cruise things that I don't know. The closest I came when I lived in Florida and Tampa had a port. And so I would like go by, but like, that looked like they were shipping off for D-Day. There were like 10 million people saying goodbye for that cruise, which from what I could tell had 40 people on it, like tops. Like, there were a lot of people on that on that dock saying goodbye.
Yeah, it's the same shot every show.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
That's what I figured. So.
Anyway, so yeah, interesting. And it's funny when you talk about the ship. Well, we'll get to this in a second. We'll get to that. The thing that I took a note on was when Bonnie Franklin said to Gopher, "I'll see you in my room in an hour," and she said something to the effect of "Leave that Shirley Temple act behind."
Yeah. She wasn't talking to Gopher. I think she was talking to Julie.
Oh, okay.
Julie,
okay.
I don't know. Shirley Temple. Isn't Shirley Temple from like the 30s? Like, that's a dated reference in 1977. And they made it twice.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Like, there was I don't know. It's not like she was
Was there something going on with Shirley Temple in 1977?
Apparently she was a ship cruise director or something.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's odd. That was odd. So we see the Bonnie Franklin comes in. Here comes JJ, right? Here comes JJ. And the thing that got me, so many things. Number one, his hired killer t-shirt was number one.
Well, he's an exterminator.
Which
they jammed in with exposition, by the way.
It was just... It was
like unnecessary.
I didn't realize you could just pull right in front of a cruise ship.
Yeah, definitely pre 9/11 this whole thing because Jenny mm-hmm. who's Jimmy Walker's girlfriend runs in, just asks, says a name, asks for the room number, runs to the room.
Yeah.
No key, no ID,
no bags,
nothing. She could have been anybody. And then she barges in, so there's no locks, I guess, on ship doors. And she's got a roommate that she doesn't know? Is that how it works on cruise? This sounds horrible.
This does sound pretty horrible.
I have to be on a boat with a complete stranger in this tiny room.
I would love to know, like, how much was that ticket? You know what I mean? You don't bring bags. You just come right in.
Yeah.
You just hop in the room with God knows who.
I wonder if it's like when you do the Uber share and it's
That's exactly what it is.
Like four people, but it's only you have to pay $2.
It's like a hostel. It's like a floating hostel.
And then the thing I don't get is he goes right in mm-hmm. and then Gopher sells her out for like the compliment.
Yeah, nothing. Because he's the captain.
Right. And then they're all like, oh, the ship's leaving. You have to go. But who's checking? There's no security.
I was just thinking that too. Like, who? Okay. Because the thing is, we never saw him leave the boat or like go in the direction to leave the boat.
Right.
So later on, I was even like, well, where's JJ?
Right.
Like, what happened? Is he still on the boat? Like, is he going to show up serving drinks? Like, I didn't know what they just.
You could 100% just hide. No, you wouldn't even have to hide.
You wouldn't have to hide.
There's no ID. Just
hang out at the pool. Exactly. Nobody would ever know.
Right. I'm sleeping.
You know, you could eat and drink for free in the 70s on cruise ships, basically. I mean, because it was just a free for all.
Yeah. But instead, he just starts driving. I guess he's driving alongside the Gulf and following this giant boat.
Well, yeah. And it's funny, too, because Suzanne Summers said to her, she said when she came in the room again, and I put the note here, no luggage, no ID. And Suzanne Summers says, basically, take a walk if I have a guy in here.
Yeah. Oh, she's got an agenda.
like Suzanne a Summers had a
plan and executed the plan.
Yeah, she's firecracker.
She definitely had the best cruise.
Oh God, she had the best cruise. And then you see why. Well, you'll see, you know what I mean? You kind of get it a little more at the end, but
yeah.
At this point I see her, and a little later too, I'm like, God, she's a loose cannon to say the least.
Yeah.
Something you said. So JJ's character did give Gopher that compliment about being the captain, you know, and then Gopher's kind of standing there and the captain comes up and the captain says the phrase keel haul. I'll have you keel hauled.
No idea.
So I said, I got to know what that is.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Keel hauling is a form of punishment and potential execution once meted out to sailors at sea. The sailor was tied to a line looped beneath the vessel, thrown overboard on one side of the ship, and dragged under the ship's bottom from one side of the ship to the other, or the length of the ship. But here's the thing. It's not just that. Like, so you might drown, right?
You probably drown. Oh, length of the ship, you definitely drown.
Right? Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. But the other thing, there's barnacles and stuff in the bottom of the ship. So your face is just getting just shredded. My point is, that's a little overkill.
That's excessive. Isn't
Captain Steubing?
And really, that's like your first go-to? That's aggressive. This is why your wife left you.
Yeah, I bet you Bonnie knows. Bonnie knows what's up.
Yeah, well, we don't bring that story up at dinner.
But that's I just thought that was a terrible, it was such a throwaway line.
I heard I heard that and I just assumed it was, you know, fun boat. Like, I don't know. It's like they put you up in the poop deck or something.
I thought like maybe like that, like planking, you know what I mean? Like you walk the plank maybe, but this was, wow.
Way worse.
Let me walk the plank. Don't keel haul me. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah, I literally would take any punishment over whatever that keel hauling is. So,
what is it? It said the common supposition is that keel hauling amounted to a sentence of either death by extreme torture or minimally a physical trauma likely to cause maim.
Yeah. And this is because, now listen, I think Gopher is a scumbag because he gave that girl's room up immediately, but you should not be murdered for it. There's probably a middle in there somewhere.
You know, it's not the first time he gave out. You know what I mean? Like, there's Gopher's a little.
But like, I had to double check. Like, did he slip him a five or something? Or is, you know, like
he just told him he just went captain and like,
yeah.
And that was it. And he was like, oh, imagine he would give you if you gave him money.
Right. And then when JJ shows up at the room, he is just, I mean, he is in his own show.
He comes launching in.
He is just him and Bonnie Franklin. Left nothing on the table. They are just going for it.
They were
them.
Looking for bigger and better projects. That's what they were doing. Like, I don't hold me to a sitcom. I can do so much more than that.
No, there's a scene in there at one point where she mentions marriage or kids or something like that, and he does like the oh, it was great.
Where are we? All right, so we see that we're all broken up there. We went into keel hauling, which was important. Somebody knows. All right. So let's talk about the JJ situation a little more here. So the drive from Los Angeles to Puerto Vallarta, if you had to guess, what do you think that would be?
I mean, it can't be a straight shot, right? Because it's international.
It's international.
I'm going to say, and those roads can't be good.
It is drivable, but
16 hours.
26 hour drive.
Oh, my God.
It's a 26 hour drive. So I call shenanigans.
Yeah, you're not beating the boat.
And he's driving that cockroach thing. There's no way he's driving that.
Which didn't make it to the end of the episode.
So. And somehow you're getting past cartels. You're getting through Mexico hassle free. So I was like, no.
Yeah.
No. This storyline, I don't know. It was weird because like I felt like he wanted to say dynamite. I felt like he wanted to get his catchphrase.
There is a part, I think it's at the end when she decides that she doesn't want to get married.
Yes, yes, and yes. I made flustered. A note.
And he said like Shazam and he said so many other catchphrases.
Calamar. Yeah, everybody.
Like, but yeah, definitely they were like, you can be on, you can miss a week. We'll write around you, but you cannot
don't
say dynamite.
Say dynamite. Yeah. He's like, what you talking about, Willis? He said all of everybody's. Yeah, it was.
But so the actual argument is she wants to get married.
Right.
He doesn't. They live right. together. He wants the status quo. She clearly wants a ring. Fine. Understand.
Until, yeah.
So they had such an argument that, to your point, she runs, I guess, how long did it take you to book a cruise before the internet? Like, so did she have this booked? Like, I assumed when he went running that they were both on the cruise.
She wasn't giving off the vibe. Like, she was giving off the vibe that I'm hiding.
She's like, not Jenny O'Brien. She's not Jenny O'Brien. I think that's the ultimate lesson.
Yeah.
That's not her real name. She was clearly just knocked into somebody and just grabbed their cruise
identical ticket or something. Cousins or something. Yeah, something else happened. She found it on the ground. Something.
But so that's the conceit, is that he doesn't want to get married, she does, blah, blah, blah. So she runs. He follows her. But every time he follows her, he's trying to get her to come back. But she's going to come back.
Right. The cruise comes back to L.A.
Right. This is not a one-way. She didn't sign up for a hitch
in the Navy.
Right. Yeah. All her stuff is clearly still at your house.
She didn't bring shit with her.
Right. So, give her a week. Let her blow off some steam. Maybe you go to the L.A. port and try and get her back. But after that,
meet her on the way back.
Exactly.
Okay. I know. What are you going to do? Swim? You're going to jump off the boat?
Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You're fine. And he just kept chasing, but was definitely not ready to do the ring until she came back to L.A. You could have saved all that time.
Yeah, but, you know, I just thought of a new wrinkle. Wouldn't you think the person who wanted to get married would be the one chasing the person who didn't want to get married? Does that really make sense? Why would someone who doesn't want to get married be chasing this girl?
It does seem like it would be they broke up and this cruise was like going to a land and she was going to start a new life in where one of those stops or something like that. But yeah, there was the fact that I didn't even pick up on the fact that she didn't have bags. That is a big red flag. This was a spur of the moment cruise.
Yeah.
1977, which normally I would say seems impossible, but apparently you could just say cruise.
Yeah, you can jump on a boat and 30 million people will wave goodbye to you. Apparently.
So lesson for Jenny O'Brien, I'm not marrying JJ Walker because he should have just hit on the boat. That was dumb. And I don't want you controlling my money if you're wasting all that gas money and you didn't work for a week.
Doesn't make any sense. Yeah, when are you killing bugs, bro?
Not at all.
Well, the other thing too, is I was thinking so JJ Walker, right? Obviously from Good Times. Look, I'm going to go out on a limb here. He's not a looker. You know what I mean? I'm saying he wasn't a heartthrob in the 70s, but it just was odd to me that I felt like that girl was a little out of his league. I'm just going to be honest.
Oh, I think that's fair. But don't underestimate that Los Angeles exterminator money. It's a big town.
I mean, it is a big town.
One of the best. He's got a bug on top of the van.
But I mean, even with him being if she knew he was Jimmy Walker, I don't even think that would be enough. You know what I mean? Like that there was a disparity and it was just weird.
No, I think that's fair. But I think, I shouldn't say that because the congressman was handsome. I was going to say most of those 70s. But I know you were slamming on Bonnie Franklin earlier, but I feel like, you know, that was.
Well, she has a bowl cut. It's hard to say va-voom to a girl with a bowl cut. You know, like it's just not a good look. You know, like, oh, Dorothy Hamill. No, I get it.
I don't think there's a ton of lookers on the boat in general. I'm saying. I think it's slim pickings.
Who's the best looking crew member?
Gopher, probably, or Isaac. I mean, Doc's a creep.
Well, we haven't even.
Yeah.
We haven't even touched the surface on Doc yet. Yeah, it's not Doc. It's not Captain. Really, Gopher.
It's either Gopher or Isaac.
Well, maybe that's why the captain wanted to have him keel-hauled. You know what I mean? He didn't want to deal with that competition. Yeah. He can take it from Isaac because he's a bartender. So we fast forward a bit, and it is a scene where the captain is talking to Doc in Doc's office. And Doc opens his desk and pulls out some pills and he gives two of them for the captain. And he says to take them for his stress and has him take one right there. Which it just was funny. It was just like
different time, man. Different time.
Well, but I bet watching it in the '70s, you wouldn't even thought about it.
No,
like it wouldn't even been a thing.
No, I assume there's a lot of stuff watching it in the 70s you wouldn't think of being a thing. And honestly, Doc's loose pill morals are the low end of that list.
He's the most popular guy on that ship, man. I'm telling you, there was some misunderstanding as to what Captain Steubing was saying, and Doc said the phrase, "I like the big ones too," which is so right now, Doc, we know he's loose with the pills and he likes a bigger partner. So
I thought that was interesting because they did a decent job for a 1970s TV show, which usually smashes you over the head with, you know, the plot points. They held out for almost a third of the episode before they told you that she was his ex-wife. Now, I'm sure if you read the TV guide that week, you probably knew. But, you know, they held on for a while, and then they do the big reveal with Doc. And yeah, Doc does his big bottom boat lady joke. Amazing. Or whatever. But the most interesting thing to me was when Steubing takes a beat and he does his monologue about the failed marriage and stuff like that. So the whole deal is that they were very happy for a while, but he wanted to be a commander.
Chose the sea.
He chose the sea over her. Do you know what that story is? The story of Captain Steubing and Stacy Steubing's divorce?
No.
It's Brandy. It's the song Brandy. The whole plot is that he chose the sea. That's the entire Looking Glass ripped off the Love Boat, or vice versa. So
what year did that song come out?
I probably
hold
before.
On a second. Hold on.
But I'm telling you,
Brandy. Brandy.
Yeah, exactly. Brandy? You're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. But my love, my lady, is the sea. It's the exact same thing. So if that predates it, there's a copyright issue with that song.
Brandy, 1972.
Oh, there you go. So somebody enjoyed that song, but it's somebody literally the same thing. So that's what happened to the Steubings. So sad, really. And I hope that wasn't, that's like their divorce song.
Well, she even said in the end, like, you know, I chose the ship. You know what I mean? And she kind of, you know what? I'll get to it because there's a whole last name issue I'd like to address.
They also didn't do a great job of explaining, like, when they got married, was he just doing local ferries? Like,
right. Was he a lieutenant?
Right.
Like, how does it work?
Like, it doesn't seem like a job that you just surprise after you get married. I'm going to go be a love boat captain.
And then looking at the episode, I don't know what he does.
No.
The dude, all he does is walk around and get dressed up in a shorter jacket and goes to dinner every night. It's the same team. It's Groundhog Day every day.
He scared those two passengers into the pool.
Right. I mean, he's not, he's just, it's,
he's got an
like
office. Like, why does the captain have a giant office? How much time are you spending in the office?
It's, you know, yeah, you never see him steering anything.
No, give me a big wheel shot at least once.
Something once. I don't even think that's a thing.
Most of my boat knowledge probably comes from Deadliest Catch, and there you were always in the front of the boat with a wheel.
I love that show. Yeah, it was something. You'd think a set would be on the bridge, especially because at the end of every episode, it is, you know, Captain Steubing to the bridge.
Well, probably because the boat's bridge, like careening into a reef or something. So
that's funny. Yeah, it's just so different. All right, so we go back to Meredith Baxter now. So now we see her checking to see if anyone is looking at the magazine with her in it. And the thing I caught the second time around was the name of the magazine. I think it was like
Kitten Magazine.
Well, why would they have that on a? Does that make any sense to you at all? I was like, why the hell would you have that on a cruise ship?
So we got to remember, it's pre-internet. So if you're a creep and it is a love boat, maybe one copy, maybe two copies tops.
Right.
Julie, when she goes and gets the magazines, gets
she had a stack.
Six, I think they said, at least six. And they sold three.
Three more were missing.
So there's, let's just assume, rounded up, they buy 10 for the store. Okay, that's a lot. And the newsstand opens at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Somebody's rushing to that.
Mrs. P. Keaton sleeps through her alarm, wakes up at 10. Julie shows up with the magazines, which means let's give 10 minutes to walk back and forth. I don't know where the newsstand is. Maybe she didn't want to be rude. But anyway, three guys, including one of your employees, went to the newsstand between 9 a.m. and 9:45 and bought a porno magazine. and then had no compunction about reading it. Just anywhere. Any,
the guy, when he opened, he had the centerfold open, laying with like shirt off, like next to the pool.
We're like,
there's family.
Right, like, exactly.
What are you doing? You have a room. Like, go back to your room and watch that.
Put it in another magazine, dude. Like,
my God. It was just so.
And so that guy ended up being worse, I think, the second time I watched it. But obviously, the highlight guy is the guy on the bridge, out on the deck. He's got the whole refold going. And then she, you know, Mrs. P. Keaton, quick thinking, grabs the smoke because everybody had a cigarette in their bag. And she lights this magazine on fire. She lit it
on fire. Now, yeah.
Everything I've heard about 70s fashion is very flammable. This guy is he's a creep, but we've proven, apparently
he's slathered in oil too, because he's having the sun.
And like, he has to throw this magazine into the ocean. Like, that's crazy. That would have been an entirely different episode if that guy had gone up like a Roman candle.
I think the question is, I wonder if the guy went back to the store the next day to see if there was another issue of that magazine.
I mean, you would assume, you know, it probably happened too, because it's like when he got there at 9:01, there were 10.
Right. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. I can go. Exactly. I can buy two. Just
after I ruin this issue. Yeah, I got 4 days
magazine. Then I'm clearly traveling solo. A solo traveler, first in line at the magazine stand to get the new Kitten magazine to work the magazine for 4 days.
It's like the Moss Eisley.
You know, why even go on a cruise to do that? Can't you just stay in your creepy studio apartment? What do you need to go? The whole
plot line is that she is worried about this congressman who ostensibly lives in Washington, at least part of the time.
Sure.
Is going to see this magazine, and she's going to somehow keep him away from this forever, I guess. But like, if there's 10 issues of Kitten on a boat in the middle of nowhere,
let's do the math.
I'm guessing that the Senate chambers has a newsstand.
Yeah, because they're always on the up and up there. They're not looking for that sort of But the thing was, again, I believe she misrepresented herself too, because initially she said she took some pictures.
Yeah.
Taking pictures again, to me, and I know we said it before, is different than you're the centerfold. Like, a centerfold in a magazine is a lot different than maybe that's just splitting hairs.
I guess it could just be one like picture and they really stretched it out like it an atlas.
Be. It could be. You just put it landscape or whatever.
The thing I didn't understand was when she oversleeps and Julie wakes her up, she initially thinks it's the congressman. And then later, when the congressman is giving that speech in front of the mirror, she knocks on the door. So they're not staying in the same room, but they're engaged.
Oh, you know what's going on. You know what's going on. No, I bet you that dude's. This is just me. You know, like she's under the impression that this congressman is married, right? In my mind, it's one of those things like, no, he's going to leave his wife. He's going to marry me. Oh. He's going to leave his wife. He's going to marry me. That explains the different rooms and the possible scandal because of things. I don't want anything to ruin
that
this.
Is a real scandal.
I mean, why else would they be in separate rooms?
That would be great if in later episode they did a callback and his wife shows up and they're like, there's like the extra, they forgot to clean out the drawer and the extra six Kitten magazines are there.
Well, here's the thing with that. You bring it up. I felt like that congressman had more than one issue of Kitten magazine. Like, the way he looked at it, it looked like there was a few.
It definitely did. It also didn't faze him. Like, yeah, I get it, you've seen your girlfriend, your fiance naked, but not in a magazine. Like, you would take a beat, right? Like, he has seen. So point is, he was in the store at 9 a.m. he didn't buy it, because why the cow when you can get
right well, what's free? The point but, what's the point? I already have that.
But he definitely he was in the newsstand. So it's him, Doc, and the two pervs are all at the newsstand at 9:01.
That's amazing.
We saw that. But he got the floating vote.
Yeah. Well, but remember they left the boat together.
Yeah.
So now I'm a little confused too. So like, all of a sudden, I don't know. I think she's just crazy. That's what I think. I think she's just out of her mind. oh, okay, I don't want to ruin this thing. And he's like, whatever, I don't care. Like, and she's like, oh, thank God, now we're going to get married. We're like,
it was aggressive. Oh, okay. It was aggressive. Like, she grabbed Julie. Like, they just got on the damn boat. And she's asking these questions.
Never mind. Like, oh, it did the whole thing. She's crazy. That, I think and it was my least favorite storyline.
I don't think they were really into it. I almost wonder, now that you said the Suzanne Summers thing, I wonder if there was more and they had to kind of chop it up because it was awkward.
I don't know. Well, I don't think that. Why would you offer that role to Meredith Baxter? And this is pre-Bernie. You know what I mean? That's before she really blew up. Like, yeah. Was she known as a looker? I mean, Family Ties,
She was probably a good-looking mom in the 80s.
To be like a centerfold in Playboy?
Well, it wasn't Playboy, it was Kitten.
Oh, it was Kitten.
We don't know where Kitten ranks on the magazines.
Can you imagine, though? Imagine Kitten is just the filthiest thing in the world. Well, like, it's hard. It's like German stuff.
Here's the thing. Is it better for your circulation or worse that there's 10 of them on a boat newsstand? I don't know if that means that you're incredibly popular or you're just dumping them off on anything.
I think that means that magazine is beyond filthy. Because how many times you're like, oh, just give us 10 of those. They're going to get a whole... That is some nasty stuff that whatever Mac.
That is really going to mess up their stats for Q3 when they see that they sold out in a day.
It's going to change the landscape of filthy magazines.
We got to hit this boat.
Well, that congressman was like, you know, all the men can see the woman. And I'm just, the way he like accepted it was creepy. He was thoroughly creepy.
Yeah, he's going for the perv vote.
Like
That's why he got the floating boat. He's getting all the pervs on that boat.
Oh yeah, I practiced his speech. I'm just like, you get a speech on the boat. It is all kind
of connected. That does make sense.
It is weird. It is. It is interesting. All right, so we go forward here. So it brings us to, Suzanne Summers and Brenda. Summers says to Brenda, make sure if you get a wedding ring, if you get a wedding ring, make sure you get one a few sizes too small.
That was like a Lockhorns comic. There were like three or four, like,
weird.
I want kids, take mine.
Brakadar. So I remember that it was like they were having drinks, talking about what they were going to do. And right after this scene, Meredith Baxter, of course, is looking for another copy. We're a little out of order, but that's okay. We're looking for a copy of the magazine. And who has a copy? Doc has a copy. Of course he has a copy. And his quote is, I never forget a face. So the Dean Martin of Doctors strikes again as being utterly creepy.
And there was no indication, like, Julie didn't say Doc's got it in his waiting room. You would just think, oh, magazine. That's not weird that at the ship doctor, there would just be a porno just laying out between like the Better Homes and Gardens. And
sets the tone.
Housekeeping.
Sets the tone. There's a round bed in there. The lights are low. Welcome to, you know what I mean? Welcome to.
But Doc ends up being the moral compass here because he's like, you can't lie to this person. You're getting engaged.
No, you're getting engaged.
And good for Doc. Now, later, Doc points out, and this is the problem with the first episode. They were trying to hit you with a bunch of stuff that I guess maybe you would just know later.
Right.
Doc's been divorced four times.
Four times.
So I don't know that Doc's taking his own medicine. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Can't self-prescribe.
You can't. You can't self-prescribe. And based on what we know about Doc likes him large. You know what I mean? So
that is true. So he's probably not into Meredith Baxter Bernie at all.
He's like, get out of here, smaller person that I'm not attracted to in any way, shape, or form, that I'm shocked. Why would he have that magazine then? Because clearly it's not Kittens. What I mean?
But we don't know. Like I said, we don't know if Kittens is like all shapes and sizes.
Well, maybe Meredith Baxter was like larger when she took the picture.
Well, then she shouldn't have been worried because she already said she had a wig.
Right. I had a wig and a 175-pound bodysuit. Yeah.
This might be back to your point that she's insane.
She is. She's completely insane. It's not even her. That's the crazy. That's what it is. She's just off her rocker.
So the you said about them, the drinking scene. When Suzanne Summers convinces
two straight double bourbons.
Yeah, there and leave the bottle. And first of all, that was a really cool bottle. That was a really cool bottle of bourbon. It was like just a weird shape. Could have been anything.
Sure.
This Jenny O'Brien doesn't drink at all. Takes a double bourbon and just bangs it like immediately. And
turns doesn't, slowly doesn't in the go bar like stool. This
or anything.
There's no way I could have drank what she drank. There's no way. I
had a bourbon last night. Definitely wasn't a double. Definitely wasn't a straight. I didn't shoot it.
Well, she's asking, what's that? Like, she's completely like
childlike.
It's just funny because like she's just telling her like, look, get a little buzz. Yeah. Loosen up. Relax. You're on vacation.
Again, good Suzanne advice. Suzanne Summers really was the
laying
the
it best. Down.
Yeah. That real it's funny because I feel like the JJ and Jenny O'Brien storyline was kind of dumb, but I thought the Suzanne Summers Jenny O'Brien story was actually pretty good.
I thought it was good. It was like
very empowering. Couple of women just out. I would watch that show.
Get under my wing. You know what I mean? And they go on vacation every now and again. I thought it was good. He's helping.
And maybe they both learn something from each other.
That's true. That's true. That's all you can really ask for.
Like what not to drink.
What not to drink.
So yeah, was it was weird at the end of that scene? They did the conga. They did the conga right outside. That was like my wedding. They just did the conga right out of the door. But then at the end, they show Isaac, and he's just like, he's just shot.
He's banged up and tired.
Man.
Well, see, that's what led the whole crew when they just had it with Mrs. Skogstag.
Yeah.
Like he was bent out of shape from her. And they were all getting together. That's where they had that conversation. That's when you learn that Doc had been married four times.
Yep.
And it was the captain's ex-wife, the crew, the whole thing. So that's when we're at your crescent of the story here with the Bonnie character. Or Stacy Skogstag. Not to be confused with Stacy Stubing.
I mean, I get that they're going for the S thing, but That's a rough name to have your cast say. You could have gotten there with an easier name to say.
They said it a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
They really did.
They were going hard for the joke, which
it's just too much. It was just too much. So now we've got the crew. The captain kind of gets a whiff of what's going on about how
after getting faced at the captain's dinner on the pills. Second time.
Yeah. She made him look like a chump.
Now, that's his boat. Now I have a question.
Yeah.
I get boats are loud, but cruises aren't loud. It's not like, it's not a speedboat, right?
So right, I would imagine it's pretty quiet.
What does everybody else at that table think is happening? You got this old guy at the top of the table smoking a pipe, not saying a word.
Not a word.
The captain comes and just is getting crushed by this woman who maybe is British, maybe isn't. Always has a fun hat.
Well, and he's at dinner for maybe 3 minutes. I've got to go. I've got important things to do. And like, what do you?
Like you got to put your long coat back on.
Oh,
she hard. Dunks on him about like some Jubilee, like Cherry's Jubilee or something like that.
That's right.
Like come on, Bonnie. That's just we've all had bad breakups, but that's like that comes off bad. The whole table must have been so awkward.
And I got to think that her husband, Mr. Skogstag, must be just deaf or something, because that dude.
Now he's sick of it.
Plus, he's over it.
Here's the thing. Bonnie might be a trophy wife at that point. She's much younger, I would assume.
I don't know. Trophy wife with a bowl cut is kind of hard pass. I just don't see, I don't know.
I feel like you're killing Bonnie Franklin here. I think I might disagree a little bit with that period Bonnie Franklin.
I'll say this. She had a hard bob for a while, okay? All I want to see is Bonnie Franklin with normal hair.
That's fair. And I don't think she ever has normal hair.
I don't think she ever does. No, not in that.
But, I mean, there's good genes in there because Valerie Bertinelli, her daughter, incredibly hot. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And married to a great musician, too.
So. Yep. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Much like Senator Congressman.
Very different paths. So captain, he's had it. Okay, the captain's had it. He's going to lay it down to Bonnie. Okay.
drags her out of the restaurant.
Drags her out on like a like a balcony walkway sort of thing overlooking the pool and says, shut up and go to your room.
But to be fair, classy and visual, the captain also invites the husband to watch this verbal assault.
Watch me say these things to your wife. Hey, you know.
And she
was like,
she doesn't. She has no remorse. Like, she's like,
she don't give a shit.
You're going down the chute for this one, Meryl, and all that stuff. And then, they waited and they waited and they waited and they finally let Mr. Skarsgård say his piece.
Skarsgård.
I'm not gonna get Skarsgård. It. I keep saying Skarsgård now.
Skarsgård. Yeah, he finally said it. I felt like it was Maggie when she 100%. Said Homer.
I really thought he was going to be like, shut up.
I thought he was going to start screaming racial things. You know what I mean? Just to really throw us a curveball.
But no, not only does he tell her to go to the room and she's like, but then you're a great captain. Yeah, which I felt was code for, I can't believe you were married to this chick for 17 years. Like one of those unspoken winks.
Like I should have chose the C too. You know what I mean?
I get a job on your boat?
Please. Gopher doesn't do anything. Can I just do what Gopher does?
Because
the
sea's
not going to...
Bonnie Franklin is getting more men to join the Navy than Franklin Roosevelt.
Why the Navy? Because it doesn't nag. unbelievable, Bonnie. So the ship arrives back in L.A., here's an interesting twist. So now JJ character, now he wants to marry Jenny, but now after Jenny's experienced this wild other two straight double bourbon life with Suzanne.
Seriously.
Summer, well, maybe I don't want to get married to a natural born bug killing van driving thin
international,
man.
International traveler for no reason. And so, I mean, she's right. Like the whole hoisted on his own petard, right? Like all the things that he brought up early, she experienced, and the freedom, as she said, the freedom to have some freedom. That was very deep.
It was. But I think that's what changed the way that I saw the Suzanne Summers with the character she played. Cuz you notice after that happens, she's leaving.
Yeah.
But like her kids are coming up.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh man, she's just on a break. She's a mom. She maybe the way she was living or acting on that ship, right? Maybe that's not something Jenny should emulate per se. But for Suzanne, it was like, I have a whole nother life where I'm responsible, but I'm here. I'm gonna let my flag fly. Yeah. I'm getting done.
She's a cruise chick. Now the first time I watched it and I saw those kids running by, I didn't see what I assume is the grandmother. And I thought she had just left the kids on the dock for a week.
The whole time.
So that made that made a little more sense. Now, one thing I did think was funny was the two of them are walking out and they're like, oh, I guess this will be goodbye. Oh, never say goodbye, blah, blah, blah. They didn't think to like exchange numbers. Like, I know you didn't have cell phones in the 70s, but you had phones.
Address, something. Can something. I drop you
and
a
And they
line
were just like,
sometime.
was Suzanne Summers like, ah, you're kind of a dud.
Or it's one of those things where, like, you know, Halley's Comet kind of thing. You know, things come into your life in a flash, teach you a little lesson. Because, you know, I'm sure they were thinking about it that deep when they were writing.
What if she's
not
real? What if she's like a Jiminy Cricket character?
That's fucking awesome. That would be, I liked it. I liked the way that ended. I don't know why.
I agree.
I just thought that was cool.
I think that was the absolute best. It was well written, especially for the time.
Yeah, surprisingly.
It was very well done.
But it's so weird, out of all the storylines that were going on at the same time, I wouldn't have thought in the beginning of the episode that at the end of the episode, I would say that the character development of the Suzanne Summers part was by far maybe the best part of the whole episode.
Yeah. Well, especially because, I think it was like the least obvious thing, right? Like,
yeah.
There obviously wasn't going to be a love boat where the congressman like boots her into the river because, you know, the Playboy thing.
That's the realistic boat. Yeah. That's just not a fun boat.
I will say they really never had a great, they did it kind of at the end, but like the ex-wife storyline, that never got great. Like he gave her a little speech at the end, but it wasn't like that. So they actually rode those out maybe even a little harder than I thought. But yeah, I didn't know what that was going to be. I was still confounded by people staying in the same room with a stranger. That just sounds awful to me. But yeah, not if you're going to learn life lessons, maybe not.
Well, I mean, how else is you know, an angel going to be put in your life to teach you a life lesson realize that maybe you don't want to get married?
That is very true.
Oof.
That's the takeaway here.
That's deep for 1977 for episode one.
Right. And I will say this, because it is episode one, and I don't know how many Love Boats I've seen, but I never thought that the captain was like a curmudgeon or something like that. But he came off very curmudgeonly early.
He did.
They clearly were using that whole, the crew, he's got the crew's back. Like that was, I'm sure if he's nicer in future episodes, it's because of that. So that was a very first episode kind of 20 minutes.
Well, they came on strong about how much the crew, you know what I mean, supported Captain Steubing, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I thought that was interesting too. Like, because he's so, you know, they got to play that whole like, I'm salty, you know?
Well, because they didn't do that many first episode things. Like, you ever watch pilot episodes sometimes?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're like, oh, that's Julie. You know, Julie, she runs this. Like, I still
remember her from.
Right. I still don't know what Gopher does.
I assume it's like a concierge. And I did want to look that up, but I want to spend like meet your Gopher at some point to take a deep dive.
You'll have time to get
in. Yeah, there's a little bit of time for that.
There's a few.
But it is interesting. Is that a thing? Is a purse or a thing? I wonder. I mean, I would assume it's like a hotel. It's a resort in the water. A concierge makes sense, but is that
so? Is Julie like the hotel manager in that scenario, and then Gopher's the concierge?
Or is she the events coordinator?
But what did she do? Because she really seemed to be. Now she did set up the captain's dinner,
mm-hmm.
but then she's also buying, you know, kitten magazines.
Obviously she has time on her hands, so she can't be doing anything that's, you know, super labor intensive.
Feels like a very short staffed boat.
It is kind of funny. There's no chef. They never talk about the chef. No, you know chef. What I mean? Who's making all that food?
There's got to be like when they said that Mrs. Skarsgård was in the engine, was in the engine room. Like, who's in the engine room?
Scotty. there's no, very limited. Yeah. I wonder why they didn't expand that a little more. Like just, well, I guess that's the whole thing with this
when
show.
They it's go all about running, the
guest stars, you know,
when they go running into the boat mm-hmm. originally, there's a couple other guys in boat whites. Standing right. outside. So I guess that's that. Now my guess is those are also people that showed up in other scenes. You know, there's 20 people tops on this shoot.
Well, now I got to wonder, like, what's the staff size on a cruise? I mean,
you know who you need to have on one of these episodes is a cruise person.
I should have a cruise person.
Even if it's just somebody that's been on a cruise, because I feel like we're missing fundamental information. But my biggest question is the door locking.
Yeah, that was the checking in.
Yeah.
And the parking.
No, thank you. I don't. And the stranger rooms.
Like, yeah, I don't want
anybody who has gone on a cruise and tells you that you go on a cruise, they always say, oh, it's great, you know, but you end up meeting a lot of people. And I'm like, I don't want to meet any people. And I'm trapped. We've been trapped on boats where we didn't want to meet a lot of people. That sounds like a terrible plan.
So, I'm fresh water. I never want to do it again.
So love Shmov when it comes to that.
Love Shmov. Well, wonderful. Well, that is episode one of the Love Boat Project. I want to thank my friend Mike Robertson again for being on for the maiden voyage. And more to follow. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for your time, Mike. And we'll see you next time.